Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
review of where the technology is up to in a general plan to introduce sort of intelligence, synthetic intelligence teaching boxes to the classroom. There's a bit of a story for that. And we're going to go through just a general introduction of the main players who I'm addressing it to. A focus on what the issues are just at the moment, and then a bit of a pullback for a history as it goes from rehab onto strategic stuff. So introducing the people that I'm chatting to on this, that's Peter from Newcastle, who's the Arduino expert, a bit of an expert out there. And I sort of, by the time I get to raise my hand up and wave it above my head and say, hey, help, I'm drowning here, and the message gets out there, but the message comes back, I've sort of solved the problems and gone on to the next point. But Peter's very understanding always in support there. King Bill of Glenbrook, the King of Glenbrook, and he's sort of a long-suffering person who I make suffer, but his sort of general strategic view of saying, oh, we need this, this is what we need, look at these sensors, and basically has been a key player, even though he's been trying not to be a key player, sort of giving me a bit of a circuit here, a bit of a pointer here and there. And that's King Bill of Glenbrook. Then down in Melbourne, Michael, who's a sort of critical strategic reviewer. So they're the three major people we're talking to. And the problems we've got at the moment, and when you're listening to it, it'll be hard to pick it up. But for this box, which opens up in the classroom with all these sensors on it, at the heart of that, I've got a Arduino Mega. So this is, you've got your Arduino, which is your 8-bit microprocessor from the 1990s, I think. Sort of living a long life. It's got a support community, which is supporting it way beyond its useful life. And hence, they're extremely cheap. And I've got the Arduino Mega and the battery power for it. And the Arduino Mega one that I do have has on it two chips, the processor chip, which handles the onboard communications and pin outs and stuff like that, and then an ESP, I've really forgotten what it's called, there you go, it's a little microprocessor chip itself, and you can address that by putting pins up. And you can say, well, I want you to sit on the serial 0 up to 3, 1, 2, 3, 4 serial ports on it. And there's serial 0, which is the one that you plug into. But then the processor chip can now write back to the outside world or write to things sitting on these serial chips. It's sort of like a poor man's serial bus. So you can set the ESP on serial to wait, and then you can just pump information to it. Once the processing has been done, you put information to it, put out, and it will then print or send something to a website with a PHP file to it. The PHP file will grab it and then put it onto a file in your website, and the data will be stored there. So this is sort of like a poor man's dumbass version. And the story goes in that I had it working with thermocouples. The cheaper thermocouples I bought were just almost on the verge of being crap. But they rusted when you put in the water. The housing rusted when you put it in the water. So not that they weren't waterproof. They loved the water. They wanted to give themselves into the water. They didn't want it to affect them. But it would have, after several months, they would have rusted through eventually like a rusty hulk. And so I put them aside, then ordered, had a new look about what I should do, and ordered a series of thermocouples, the DS18B20 Dallas Sensor thermocouples. So the, or not thermocouples, they're basically a chip, and it's powered, and it's got a data line out of one wire out of the chip. And these, I've just got them in now. They're sensational. And so the logic behind these chips, and bear in mind, I hope they're long-lived, because not a lot of other technologies follow this. And so just a quick story, I ganged these five together. So you solder all the power, all the grounds, all the power, all the signals together from five, or have five signals to represent your five fingers that you could get up there, five sensors here. And they're on about a metre, a fairly nice, whatever it is, cable. And they are, waterproof, and they've got a lower thermal coefficient than thermal load. That is the amount of heat that you have to take from your environment. So if they're measuring the temperature of a battleship or something, they're okay, but as you get smaller and smaller, you're going to measure the temperature of an ant. You know, if you put a huge thermocouple on it, you're just, the ant doesn't beat the thermocouple. So these are coming up. So I'll talk a little bit about these ones. They're very intelligent, and the story is that the Arduino can just say, "Oh, anybody out there?" and just poll to anybody who's out there, and then get in their serial numbers. So each chip has got a laser written serial number, and that laser written serial number can be read by the Arduino. The Arduino counts the number of counters out there. Now, I still haven't actually made it intelligent as I would like. So I would like it to, a student cuts a sensor and it detects the sensor is gone. You know, something is missing, and reconfigures. A little bit difficult to work out. So essentially, these five sensors have got five wires which go in, and there's sort of a myth about a 4.7k ohm resistor which is necessary for it, because you can see the software says, do I have it? No, I don't. Do I have it? No, I don't. And of course, I've wired it on, but you know, it hasn't found it. So you realize you don't need it whatsoever. Now, what's happened is with this, the chip, temperature measuring chip, is just got power, and it just puts back the full-on temperature back. You say you want 12 bits of information, which is really about a 20th of a degree, around that, coming out, a resolution coming back, streams up. And the stability is about a 20th of a degree, so second after second, if it makes a mistake, it's the same mistake, so you could recalibrate it. And it looks as though there's no long-term drift in there. They're very stable units. Like, thinking about it, you can't have long-term drift. You've only got, you know, less than a micron of silicon arranged to determine it. It's a crystal. So it's not like a mechanical thing, it's sort of like the atoms there. If it drifts, it will drift over 10, 20 years, not half an hour. Well, if it's drifting over half an hour, it would have drifted out and destroyed itself a long time ago. So they're very stable. And the fault that I've come across, Peter, is that the processor chip on the Mega Arduino sends up too much information too fast to the ESP, and it it's got its registered there, and what's happened is it's sending before, and the data is coming in faster than it sends off. So there's a little bit of software gatekeeping to do inside them, and just to flag it across. And I've just found that out by just slowly. It looked as though my PHPs weren't suddenly working, because obviously it's just too much data. Data was coming in three or four blobs at once, so the processor chip would keep on putting three or four blobs coming in. It looks as though the PHP had broken, and then I tested the PHP. So PHP is the server-side software. It's the program you write and put in the United States computer to work out what you're doing. So it's a little bit sophisticated there, that you send information down up to your probe and information to the US on how you want things to get done. And I'll be able to check that out. Now, of course, where I'm a bit stuck is that my file transfer program jams every once in a while, and I can't delete or see what's going on. And that's, to program the US computer, you need a file transfer program. So it takes a file off the US computer, you can process it and put it back. So this is where I've stopped, and there's a whole series of things where, as you encounter delays and going across, you plan to do other things. Like, you plan to strike a delay, and when that delay strikes and you need so much time to fix it, you have other things to do. And so very much with the rusting thermocouples, it's the order from China, assess what's going to be done. So I've got a sort of new set of thermocouples. So there's just, they're very cheap, but they're sort of a nightmare. So I've gone up $1 in the thermocouples. I've got 5 thermocouples in, which I'll wire in. And then I've got and looking at how you calibrate it, this Dallas sensor, that sort of nailed it. There's no illusion that there's anything you can do, which is the value add can be actually further up. So I do have some value add to do it. So, but getting back to the fact that there's this delay. So in that delay, I've begun writing the research paper, which has sort of informed a bit of the direction to go. And so the delay here, FTP file transfer program's sort of gone on for, those little rotating circles, saying I'm thinking, like, not quite fuck off, but and so I dutifully do that and think I'll give you a podcast. So that's where we're at the moment. So I might need some tender love and care to try and work out how it, and so program the ESP. You've got 2 chips on your Mega which you can program, and it's either the first 4 DIP switches up and down. Basically, you've got to toggle them. I don't know. I think I would. I don't know what people do, but you've got 7 DIP switches there, and you've got to just toggle them up. And just to give you an idea, is I've got a screwdriver, which is ideal for it, but I can't find that screwdriver. But sort of knowing that I have difficulty finding things, I just sort of take it nice and slow and push on. So there's obviously some software upgrade to the ESP, the communications protocol. Now, there's one level of thought that, like, the Mega is going to be the way to go. Then pulling back, as we look further down the track, Raspberry Pi processor, so the Mega is $9, the Raspberry Pi is $90, the chip, so I'm building this well under $90, the whole process under $90, so I can't quite go to Raspberry Pi, but eventually the Raspberry Pi will get there. So that's the general area that I sort of need help on. That's sort of rather deep involved. There was a group called Core Electronics, but I've sort of progressed too quickly. Things have progressed too quickly to feed all the information you need to feed into them, like forums. So when they can look at it, you've got all these forum posts, so they can see where you're going, and the community can help you out. But I've sort of been going a little bit too quickly there. And just to give you an idea, I've got a gain about probably an hour before I have to go out to some sort of medical assessment appointment. And it's absolutely raining at the moment. It's just, it's great. Yeah, it's, the land really needs it. So I'm out here just doing a podcast. So let's review things. There's sort of two things. There's the rehab direction, and the rehab direction sort of coming together to a strategic direction. So if you can go across that. So the rehab direction is basically about 9 months ago, basically heal thyself is the story. And so I did a wrap round working out strategically what I wanted to do. And I wanted to address there's certain basic things that if you do quantum mechanics, you expect to believe, you believe you can see something, which is a Einstein to Haas and a Thompson's thermal resistance. It's sort of like the poor man's Peltier effect. And these are critical things that you're trying to assess. Do you know any quantum mechanics? Because if you do, and you really think so, this should happen, but it's not. So this is all the time you sort of look out, and it's not. So to cut a long story short, yeah, it does happen, and the quantum mechanics is good to go. So you can tick that off. That hasn't been smashed off. And so I had these assessment of things to do, and Peter will know, and a few people I polled around the university saying, going in this direction, is there any help you can have? And I didn't think I would offer any help, but it's just I've got some intelligence to know how uninterested they are in these things. They're interested in the day-to-day education, not the actual long-run thing. So I began building that. And at the same time, Bill, I needed to do some switching, and I went round to Bill, asked. So through the Einstein to Haas, you need a alternating magnetic field. The automagnetic field changes the spin on the electrons. The spin on the electrons have a small angular momentum, and so this can actually make a crystal oscillate, physically oscillate, at about 10, 12 hertz I've got. And so that sort of threw me in the deep end. And so I asked Peter, and you quite good. You came back, well, this is how you would measure thermal stuff, and just in general that of all the people, you thought that's a worthy cause to go off. You sort of understand from my robotics background that I'm probably doing something worthwhile at the end. So looking at this, I did some basic prototyping on both the thermal resistivity. I have to really think about you get a voltage drop as you go in and out of a hot junction, which is just a thermocouple effect, but with one wire it sort of speaks quantum mechanics to you. So I basically got that up and could see it on the kitchen, out here in the kitchen, not the kitchen, on the out here on the patio. I've got a little table here full of absolute junk to make you go mad. I saw that effect. And pretty early on, so the Einstein to Haas effect, and And this is starting off with individual components, and I think Bill gave me a board, which is a J-Car board from the 80s and 90s, when you could buy kits of individual components. And soldering it, I sort of began soldering it, and my soldering iron was just, I was so stuffed, you know, I couldn't solder anything. Of course, then my soldering iron had been rusting on the inside and completely rusted, and I bought a new soldering iron. That was just a dream. So it's interesting that you're trying to rehab and you discover, if you know, errors out on the internet, errors in the kit that you've got, and sort of just working out how to do things. And so I eventually built the Einstein de Haas system, and sort of a natural knowledge of doing a prototype sequencing, so a prototype of concept prototype, research prototype, where things are big and you want to have it so that you can twiddle knobs, you can vary it, check it's not sensitive to things. So you build it with, or in this case, the Einstein de Haas, I built it on a little spice table, on a tile and a spice table, and with a large solenoid. So the large solenoid, you could check the magnetic field at different points, and sort of large, you could get it nice and uniform and check if that affects, and have a rotation, you could check if the Earth's magnetic field is there. You might be able to shield it, but you should be able to see some sensitivity if the Earth's magnetic field is having any impact. You should be able to rotate it, and then solving various points. And I suppose there's sort of one or two mechanical points I solved to improve that. So I made up the Einstein de Haas. Now, just more chance by anything, assembling it together. And you're in the outside, you need to, outside in the rain. It's like an actual villager, you know, outside, actually not in a physical building. I'm actually building them out of my house, pushed out of my house, and building it in the dirt. And so if you're building it in the dirt, you tend to put them in these boxes. So it's more chance like this. Now, coming up, how do you control it? Well, you control it through a basically your relay is controlled by whatever it is. Your relay is controlled by solid-state relays. Seem the place, the way to go. And then solid-state relays had non-return to zero. Then it's H-bridge, and you can't buy your own components to build your own H-bridge, as I did many years ago. The H-bridge is this way where it inverts the voltage coming out, swaps the positive rail with the negative rail by actually having symmetric, I think it's four transistors symmetrically, but they, when one transistor flicks, it makes it, well, basically high resistance to these two wires. So you use the H-bridge to run stepper motors and stuff like that. And that really meant going on an Arduino. And at this stage, I said, "Oh, help, Peter! I'm doing Arduino. I know nothing about it." But essentially, all the Arduino stuff is, you know, a user community, and basically everyone, that's because it's a user community, everyone has to be downloaded to a computer, and so you just connect it up with a USB, and it basically downloads doesn't work, and then it's just a matter of having the skill to trawl through all the internet help things, and to actually go down for a little while to realise, oh my god, this is just insane. These people actually really don't know what they're talking. There's in these help groups, it takes a while to realise that the authority person who's coming in doesn't necessarily know exactly what they're talking about. So the end result is that I built a box, a clear plastic box, for the Einstein-Haas experiment. And the idea was, I took it in to show Sydney University in a laundry basket. And, of course, by the end, the actual shaking had ripped it apart. By the time I took it in, it worked, but taking it back, it worked. I had to improve. And there's also the fact that people, I don't have time now or be able to leave it so you can plug it in. And then get the LCD display, which was just sort of a nightmare. So with all these sorts of things, I don't know what I'm doing. I tend to buy the very, very cheapest liquid crystal thing is something which needs 12 wires, no, 8 wires into it to operate. And I've just, for a few cents more, bought something which just requires basically 3 wires or, you know, 4 wires in to operate, much, much cleaner and stuff. So, pushing up there, so that box things. And then the sort of the next thing to do strategically is develop a start to develop a teaching device which has got a tile and which you put your tripod and butts and burner on. And yeah, we're now going to just apply Arduino knowledge and teaching together, and actually just nail this one baby. Just see how much time I've got for this. We're cruising. I'll have to stop. So this is basically, I want to know the mass of something, and I can't send a robot in to pick it up. It's got the mass there. It's got to be able to, you know, what is the mass of that in your tripod? Well, you have your little mass sensors on each tripod foot, and so there's the tile there, and how do you drill holes in it? Well, it turns out perhaps water jet cutting holes that go down onto your sensors, and it's solving that. The sensors drift over a period of time. You can spend $90 a sensor pad. And these sensor pads are MEMS, quartz, solid, no resin. Like, the person's, you know, basically the problem with these sensors is that they drift after 20 seconds, 30 seconds. This is micrograms, stuff like that. But they drift. And so there is a solution. If resin's the problem, build me something without resin. And, of course, these are quite little expensive little pads. They're really beautiful stuff, and you can see them sort of researching. You see them in the shops now. You know, when someone whacks on your meat on that thing, it measures to the microgram in a second, instantly, reliably, with no. Before, you would have noticed it would probably take half. It takes no time whatsoever, and so they put it there, and there's no time for it to adjust and average. It does it instantly. And then I sort of read, it's subtracted that much from... I sort of looked at, what's it? Oh, we've programmed it in the weight of the plastic bag. So before, you wouldn't do... Oh, this piece of paper we're putting on, we know how much that is already. So this would be a fraction, a squillionth of a cent going in. So I can't go down that axis. And so I've got little servos which operate, nice set of servos. And what is it? 3D printed servo holders. And it just lifts up. And I still got to go on them. And so the overall things, and then having the groups of 5 sensors, so they're there and the 5 sensors are going. So this is the whole process. I've got it up to the stage of processing to the internet, and of course at this stage I write the research paper, and It's taken me a while to realise that why I'm so slow at writing the research paper is that I'm in the middle of researching. I'm writing the research paper, and so as I write the research paper, and I say, and I write something in the paragraph, it becomes obvious what I should do. So I do the table of senses and different types of senses, and sort of, well, I may as well have a thermopile sensor. This is a distance sensor and a basically an infrared split thermo infrared. It's got a lens, and it's got a lens onto image screen. The image screen's got left and right, and it looks at the measures the net temperature left and right. And what they do use this for is for person detection. Human, is there an animal? Is there an animal in front of me? Tick. Has it moved? Tick. I suppose blow up might be the story. I don't know. When people, terrorists get hold of this, is just going to be insane. But it's your basic motion to temperature detector, infrared motion detector. And then on a column I put the cost of this, the actual cost of the sensor, the number of sensors there, and start to develop it. And so what happens is that this plastic box, as I focus, it says the Einstein to Haas does the advanced quantum mechanics, and then the rubbish which I destroy in the process of testing these things. So sometimes, if I am going to build an Einstein to Haas, I just test it over voltage for overnight and see what component blows up. And a particular component blows up, and also destroys a few other ones. And with the destroyed other things, I go and build a primary school, one of these boxes. So it's now evolved from a single box into a series of boxes. And as people see through the boxes, it just happens to be see-through boxes. It's really obvious what can go on. As I sort of track down, there's sort of massive gap between what we teach people and what's actually true. And it's not just a simple this is what we teach and that's what you're teaching. This is what we teach and this is what's true. There's a gap between. It's not that simple. There's that. Well, basically, it's a folk belief system which we teach in education, and what's true is the quantum physics. But it's not an isolated folk belief. There's actually a system of folk beliefs. So the misunderstanding of what's been taught is actually in concert with the misunderstanding of crystals. How crystals are magical and stuff. So if you try and say, well, it's like magic, people go, I know. It's there's this thing, it's not a void there. There is this precondition. And then there's sort of this intelligent way to say, oh, well, these silicon crystals do actually heal because of the defibrillator. And so when you write that, you say, your sentence is like, you can receive instructions on how to produce it, like the box which I'm producing. And there's sort of the actual sentence structure of the research is directing it. So as I describe child psychology of how you do it, I then go like the utility belt from Batman and have an image on that. But with that utility belt, I now name this utility box, and so I'm now beginning to harvest cultural assets to it. So if you can imagine someone being turfed out in the dumper and rubbish being poured on them, they're suddenly sort of groaning and getting things together, and then I'm beginning to access high-quality cultural assets like the automatic defibrillator, like Batman's utility belt. And so I still have this major problem in that I can actually narrow down to the exact point at which people haven't understood what quantum mechanics is about, and what, and this I can actually undo it. It's sort of like I don't say Hitler and stuff like that. You know, someone pointing out that, you know, I honestly don't think it's a good idea to invade Russia at this point in time. I don't know what we can do given this, but invading Russia is just not a good point in time. You don't get listened to. So similar to this is sort of saying, I honestly don't think we should teach incorrect science to our kids because it's just not good. The cultural way we have is that if anyone dissents, it's a real uphill battle. So the result is that this is the UB box. It can actually now have, rather than me coming in and saying it's here and it's going to challenge you, it can do your stuff, and then you can flick a switch and it can do quantum mechanics stuff. So and it will do it. If it's giving a Department of Education explanation, it's advising people and it's advertising and it's incorrect, an amber light will go on just in the background for an astute person, like, or every kid who knows, the amber light will come on and warn people that the, so it's not, it's to get over, you're not going to give our explanation. Yes, we're going to give the Department of Education explanation of how things work. And then we're also going to give the quantum mechanics thing, and they don't fit together. The quantum mechanics explanation doesn't fit together. And the way that you can do it, you can walk into the room and a consultant can come in and see instantly that the teacher's teaching the old way of doing things for stuff, and kids are not understanding it and it's all falling apart, and they can look at the box and see the box is teaching incorrectly, but in your framework that's what you want to be done. So that's the broad strategic framework. Now, in terms of voice command, voice doing things, the ability to work out that someone has put the sensor in the wrong position and re-coach them back is covered by a technology which I developed many years ago. It's probably getting, what is it, not 15 years ago, with the fembots. And so this is mathematics to allow you to synthetic intelligence. And so as this develops, it says in the long run, to go up to that level I'll need a computer to run that level of software. There's no way that can run on a it'll still run on the ARM low power, like my mobile phone chips. So essentially the Raspberry Pi computer is different from your other computers because it's got a mobile phone chip on it. It's a credit card sized computer, so it's equivalent to your old Pentium. You'd probably get, it's like a powerful quad core 64-bit one. I don't know whether it runs Windows, Linux, Linux, and the, it's just a bit painful to work out what's going, but with generation, that's what's really necessary for it to run advanced software. So at this stage, I sort of do need help, sort of right back on the ESP, the programming of the microprocessors, and the handover, so I sort of can work out how that's going. I am working on the research paper. Thanks for the feedback on it. And the feedback on the sort of high level, oh, this is how you write papers. Yeah, you're having difficulty. This is how you write papers, research it. And realizing, oh, well, The problem is that as I write the research paper, I can then modify what I'm doing so it is the very best possible. So it's not sort of like there's usually a person standing outside the research lab who is writing comments for other people to observe, but this is more like research real time. So that's the overall view, and I'll write this up and give it to you. And I am just podcasting to the world. Some people might be interested in how this is panning out. That's all I can say. That's how it's panning out. I'm not too concerned about. Good luck to anyone who can come in and beat me to it, because there are these sections of where I'm looking at generations ahead, you know, strategically how you outmaneuver it to get it in there, but also there's sort of software and maths on how you deal with student picks up a sensor and sticks it in their pocket. The system now will be strong enough to say, prompt them, you know, if you, you know, and be able to do it in a dynamic way using the fembot technology, which I think, yeah, Peter, definitely Michael and Bill, you've all seen. So this is the industrial robots which I got to problem solve and move around and such thing. So I'm just going to be able to put that fembot technology back inside. So it's the overall issue. I've been speaking for 41 minutes, and I hope that's given you an overview. There's no call for action. It's just to so you can size up what's going on and possibly catch it. If you don't listen to it, I'll catch you. I know Michael and Peter will listen to it. Possibly. You never know, Bill. There's no need to drop what you're doing and resize. I'm just groaning and moving out of my mass grave I've been chucked into. I'm just slowly moving out and seeing how things panned out. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.